Hello and welcome to episode episode five of Gin and Spooks. I am Laura.
I'm Emma.
And what are we talking about today, Emma?
Talking about Christmas. Woo!
Yay, Christmas. And what are we drinking today, Emma?
I am drinking blackberry gin with
Nice.
lemonade because I don't like tonic.
Yeah, tonic is gross. I thought I didn't like gin, but it's actually tonic I don't like. So I'm the same. I always have gin and lemonade. But tonight I am drinking, it's one of Aldi's like flavored ciders, and it is the blood orange, cranberry, and cinnamon one. And I was like, yes, that sounds mega Christmassy. I'm going to drink that for our Christmas
Oh.
episode. It tastes like Parma violets, so not at all Christmassy, but it is good. I would recommend all of Aldi's Alsker premium ciders. They are good.
Oh, okay. I mean, unfortunately, if it tastes like Parma violets, I don't like Parma violets, so I
Yeah,
wouldn't enjoy that drink, but
don't get that flavor. But they have other flavors, like there's a mango one, mango and something, and a blackcurrant and orange one, and they're really good. As well as the usual, like strawberry and lime and winter berries type stuff.
I love strawberry ice. See, I'm kind of sad now because I was like, oh, do I go for a Christmas drink? Now, my Christmas drink would have been Martini Asti. That's my Christmas drink of the year. I change it every year. I
Oh.
was like, yeah, pop it open. So, oh well, I'm having blackberry gin and lemonade. So,
That's almost festive.
yeah.
Actually, before we talk about Christmas, have you seen today that someone's deciphered one of the zodiac ciphers?
No,
Have you not seen that? Genuinely, someone's cracked one of the codes on one of the really long ones. And I took a screenshot of what it says. So I think it's just some random dude that's been working on the zodiac ciphers for like 14 years or something, and he's cracked it and he sent it to the FBI, and the FBI are like, yeah, cool. Anyway, so this is what it says. I hope you are having lots of fun in trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show, which brings up a point about me. I am not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner, because I now have enough slaves to work for me where everyone else has nothing when they reach paradise. So they are afraid of death. I am not afraid because I know that my new life is life will be an easy one in paradise death. Which doesn't quite make sense, but
Oh my God.
yeah,
Yeah,
but
that's
that goes.
that gave me goosebumps
But that goes back to what you were saying about that book that he said, Paradise, and he needs the slaves for when he dies.
though. Oh, what was it now?
But he spelt paradise wrong
Happy.
the whole way through. He spells it with a C rather than
Was
an S.
it, yeah, so I think he's dyslexic.
Yeah.
But we were talking about that, weren't we? We were thinking that you might be dyslexic or you're doing it on purpose, but like that's gonna bother me now, so I'm gonna quickly try and read my notes again.
I was going to say, if you Google it later and read the whole article.
Oh, The Most Dangerous Game. That was the book.
Yeah.
Because obviously they use humans instead of like animals as like hunting game.
Yeah.
Oh, that gave me goosebumps. I love that. Woo!
Just felt like we needed to give the listeners an update on the Zodiac case
Oh,
and you.
I'm surprised they're still trying to crack the code. To be fair, I thought they had just given up.
To be fair, I don't think it's like the FBI that have done it. I think it's a random dude. But
They just
a
got
true
bored.
crime, yeah.
I hope it's because they've listened to our podcast and gone, you know what? I'm gonna crack it. I'm gonna crack it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Thank you, whoever you are.
Yeah, out of what the 20 listeners we've got, one of them has cracked the
You never know. I
code.
have to put that on our Instagram page to be fair,
Yeah.
because it relates to what we've been talking about.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but I wanted to tell you like whilst we were recording because I thought it'd be funny if you hadn't seen it already.
I don't know why that's made me really happy, but that's made me really happy.
Yeah.
Like, yay! One step closer to finding the zodiac.
So, back to Christmas. I have done some research on Krampus. Cool. So, Krampus is he's a figure from Central European folklore. So countries like Austria, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Syria, Northern Italy, they all believe in Krampus. So he's described as a horned anthropomorphic figure. described as hairy, brown or black in colour, and he's got cloven hooves and horns. So he's like half goat, half demon. And anthropomorphic means like on 2 feet like a human type thing, just in case anyone wanted to know what that meant. He has a long pointed tongue that sticks out, and he has fangs. He carries chains with him, often thrashing them about, and he often has a bag or a sack on his back. He also quite regularly has bells and carries bundles of birch branches called rootin, which he uses to swat children. So most commonly, he's portrayed as being one of St. Nicholas's companions. So St. Nicholas obviously evolved into Santa. So essentially, St. Nicholas goes round and treats the good kids. Krampus goes with him and then punishes the bad kids. So they're like, I was going to say a comedy act then. That's not what I meant. They're like a dynamic duo, I think is what I meant to say.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good cop, bad cop. They are bros. So during the Christmas season, he punishes children who have misbehaved. He either hits them with the rootin, which is the bundles of birch sticks, or he pops them in his sack to take them down to hell / eat them. So he sounds lovely.
Oh, okay. I'm never going to misbehave ever again.
No, I know. Like this big horned beast coming to get you. And literally, can see on some of the...
Bro.
Yeah, please take me to hell. I am done here.
I've had enough.
Okay, so he is thought to originate from pre-Christian Alpine traditions, because most of the countries that believe in him, they're like in the Alps, as in the mountain range. So he's believed to derive from a horned god, which is one of the two primary deities found in the Wicca and some related forms of neo-paganism. So essentially all the religions that were around before Christianity, he is thought to be one of the gods. Essentially, paganism and Wicca and all those kinds of religion type things that were around before Christianity, Krampus is thought to have stemmed from one of their gods called the Horned God. It's thought that Christian missionaries tried to wipe out pagan traditions, so they kind of assimilated Krampus with the devil, so they made people believe that he was the Christian devil so that they wouldn't like him, because they to make people think that pagan traditions were bad.
Yeah, because Christmas is originally a pagan holiday, because it used to be called Yule, and then all of the traditions that we have now and they class as Christian are actually pagan.
Yeah, so they've done the same with Krampus, essentially.
Yeah.
So the chains he carries are either thought to be a Christian attempt at binding the devil, or they're thought to be remnants of a pagan initiation rites. The birch branches he carries are also thought to have had a connection with the initiation rites of covens, again, stretching back to before Christianity. In the 11th century, the horned gods and devils started to appear in plays as an attempt by Christians to use symbols that the native people were familiar with, but they then corrupted this horned god thing into a bad thing, and that's where Krampus kind of came from, and that's what turned him into the mischievous child terrorizing being that is known today.
I feel like is the punishments are a little bit extreme though.
If I
had kids and told them that, I think they shit themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Behave, right, or this.
Behave, you're gonna go into hell.
The goat man will take you down to hell. So it's also thought that it was the Christians that paired Krampus with Saint Nicholas to make him. I don't know. I think it's like almost like yin and yang, isn't it? Like almost preparing a saint with a devil to balance it all out.
Yeah. Did you know? Because he's always called Saint Nicholas. So was he just a saint because the Christians picked up that holiday on him? And then he was a saint.
Maybe I should have Googled the origins of Saint Nicholas as well. But Saint Nicholas is essentially Santa.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
Oh, well. No, he's definitely not scary at all. I don't know. I mean...
My sister was terrified of Santa when she was little.
Really?
Yeah, because if you think about it, it's a strange man coming into your house and giving you gifts. That's...
Yeah. Like just stranger danger kind of thing.
Yeah. But yeah, there's also a recent theory that Krampus is the son of Hel, who is the Norse goddess of the underworld. So she's also, you can see her in Thor Ragnarok.
That's such a good film. I love that film.
I know, it's so good, isn't it? And she's like so Loki. Cool. Yeah.
Loki's my favourite. So
I can't wait for that series to come out.
oh my god, I've been waiting years. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, so technically, if that theory is correct, then Krampus is like Loki and Thor's nephew. But this theory is thought to originate from a novel by Gerald Brom, and he's an American Gothic fantasy artist. And he wrote a book called Krampus the Yule Lord in 2012. So I think this theory is literally just come from his book. So I don't think that it's actually true.
Might have to read up on that. I'm going to write that down.
So the 6th of December is the festival of St. Nicholas. And the night before, on the 5th of December, it's called Krampusnacht. Krampusnacht? German, I think. So it's when the wicked hairy devil appears on the streets. So men dress up in hairy costumes, normally made of sheep or goat skin, and they put on wooden masks with horns to dress up as Krampus. And then they roam the streets in kind of a sort of parade type thing, scaring children, chasing them with sticks. They have chains, and like as one picture I saw earlier, they had like this big ball of fire that they were just dragging behind them, like a proper morbid parade. And the men get really and the men get really drunk when they're doing it. Sometimes Saint Nicholas is with them to kind of lighten up a bit for the kids, and sometimes he isn't. But I read there was a village in one country that had quite a lot of refugees, and because the Krampusnacht was such a big thing there, they did a presentation to all the refugees, like, look, this is one of our traditions. It's quite scary if you don't know what it is. So they literally explained to them what it was, so they didn't get scared when the Krampusnacht parade happened, which I think is just so lovely that they were embracing these refugees into their village, being like, look, please live with us, but please don't shit yourselves when this happens.
Yeah, it's really sweet. They're just like, oh, we want you to feel like you can take part in this, but also it's a little bit scary. Like,
yeah,
don't crap yourself.
Yeah,
when you see us do this, that's such a weird thing to do. I guess it's weird for us because obviously we definitely don't have parades for Krampus, but for them it's like, yeah, I'm gonna take part in Krampus parade.
I mean, mainland Europe is so much more interesting than Britain.
Anything's more interesting than Britain.
Yeah,
Britain,
true.
It just doesn't know whether we're in lockdown or not in lockdown.
I know. Anyway, so there are a few regional variations of Krampus, like what the actual process is and what he actually does. So in Syria, he gives the rutan bundles to families, and then these twigs are painted gold and displayed in the house all year round to remind the children to behave. So it's like literally they display these golden twigs being like, if you're naughty, Krampus will come and get you.
Oh my God.
In smaller villages in Syria, he isn't accompanied by Saint Nicholas, but has other buddies with him. So like one of the examples was this beastly man with antlers accompanies Krampus, which sounds horrifying. So I can kind of, I'd rather have him as like St. Nicholas's buddy than this beastly antlered man. In Austria, they have a toned down version of Krampus, and he's used to attract tourists to their Christmas markets, and he ends up being more humorous than fearsome. Imagine going to a Christmas market on holiday.
Oh my God.
Fucking goat man with horns, like, meh.
What do you do for a job? I work in marketing. That's essentially it. They just use this guy. And he gets used and abused for marketing. He's like, you need to help with the last stats, you know.
No, can you imagine though? Krampus is real and he's down in hell. And it's like, oh, I've got a seasonal job this year. I'm gonna go up to Salzburg in Austria and scare some tourists at the market.
That's hilarious. And then, oh my God, that's amazing.
So in Northern Italy, they have an annual Krampus festival. And I read a bit about this and it literally just sounds like the Krampusnacht, where just before sunset, Krampus comes out from a cave and chases children, punishing them with hitting them on their legs with the branches. And the kids have to recite a prayer to appease his anger and get him to fuck off. Can you imagine just going about your day, sunset hits, Krampus, man with horns comes and chases you, and you'd have to shout a prayer at him to get him to go away.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. He'd be like, what? No. And I'd be like, come on, puppy. Oh, that's hilarious. It wouldn't work in this day and age. It wouldn't work. Like, no one's just prayers now.
I mean, it works in Italy, apparently, still.
That's true.
In Croatia, what happens is children receive their gifts from St. Nicholas, and he also gives them a golden branch to represent their good deeds. Then, later, Krampus comes along to all the children that have misbehaved and takes their gifts off them and gives them a silver branch instead to represent their bad acts. Imagine being given a gift and then being like, later this hairy boy turns up like, nope, you've misbehaved.
Oh, yeah, it's like being second best. That's, I feel like that's the whole point. No, like, no, you've been shit today, yeah, for this year, so
this is what you, yeah, could have had, but you've been a little shit, so we're gonna take it away from you. That's so much worse than just being visited by Krampus in general. He's actually pinching your gift.
Yeah, I don't actually think, obviously I don't think Krampus is real, and then I said that now and he's gonna visit me tonight.
Yeah,
gonna be like, no. But I'm definitely going to use this if I ever have kids in the future.
Oh, me too.
Going to get the dad to be like, right, make sure you're extra hairy today.
Yeah.
Take the gifts off them and give them a silver brand.
I've bought you some horns.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all I really have on Krampus. Because it wasn't as exciting as I thought he was going to be, if I'm honest. I mean, I still think it's a pretty cool tradition, but that's Krampus.
To be honest, I didn't really know much about Krampus anyway. Like, I obviously know about him in terms of like horror movies, because we use him a lot for horror movies. But I didn't know his actual origin story. But that seems quite funny. I think that'll be quite good comedy if anyone wants to make that.
And yeah, I think the Krampus that you see in all the horror films is not the actual Krampus. He just sounds like Saint Nick's mate that comes around to punish all the kids that deserve being punished, if I'm honest. Like, yeah, kids in England, right, being on Santa's naughty or nice list, that doesn't really scare them into behaving that much, I don't think. But Krampus fucking would. It's definitely just been made up by some woman, hasn't it, that had really naughty children, and she's like, watch out, Krampus is gonna come get you.
Do like a program for people and like bring the kids to the misbehaving.
Yeah. I have one more little fact about him, though.
Okay.
So just after the Austrian election in 1932, the Dollfuss regime, they banned all the Krampus traditions in Austria because they were quite religious. And then in the 1950s, the government literally handed out pamphlets titled Krampus is an evil man to try and put people off him. So yeah, so it's only towards the end of the 20th century that he became popular again, because the Austrian government were like, no, he's evil, and if you practice anything to do with Krampus, we will get you. So yeah, the Austrian government saw him as a threat. Maybe they've been really naughty and they were worried that he was going to come and take them down to hell.
Probably, yeah. I won't be surprised. That's hilarious. I definitely have been educated on Krampus.
I'm glad.
I didn't realise how funny he was.
I know. I'm going to put some pictures of him on the Instagram. Also, people in Austria and places nowadays, they send kind of Christmas cards to each other with Krampus on as well. And there's some really funny images of him with his tongue out and like kids. Oh, yeah.
It sounds like really weird, because like your first thought is like...
Yeah, like, you know, the horror films makes you think
of it. Yeah, like really questionable.
Okay, so I've got multiple different stories on like Christmas traditions.
Cool.
So are you ready to have your mind blown?
I am. I'm ready to feel Christmassy.
Okay, so in Germany, they have a tradition called the Christmas pickle.
Oh, that sounds cute.
So it's essentially what it is it's like a glass ornament shaped in a pickle that they hang on a Christmas tree, but they try and hide it from the kids. And then whoever finds it first gets like an extra gift and then good luck for the year to come.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
I started laughing because like I was watching a YouTube video and they were showing like, you know, like Pickle Rick.
I was just about to say, does Pickle Rick count?
Apparently he does count. So if you ever want to use him, apparently he does count. So it's a German-American tradition created in the late 19th century. The tradition is an ornamental pickle, which is placed on a Christmas tree as one of the decorations. On Christmas morning, the first person to find the pickle on the tree would receive an extra present from Santa Claus or would be said to have a year of good fortune. This tradition is commonly believed by Americans to come from Germany and be referred to as a, I don't know if I'm going to get this word right, so I'm going to try, Weihnachtsgurk.
Does it have Gurk at the end, like short for gherkin?
It's G-U-R-K-E. So I'm it could be gherkin, actually. I didn't think of that. But they say that it's probably, and it's another difficult word, but I'm going to try, apocryphal, which is basically, this means that originally denoted hidden or secret writings to be read only by initiates into a given Christian group. So they think it was more Christian tradition that been created from people from Germanic region. It's been suggested that the origin of the Christmas pickle may have been developed for marketing purposes in the 1890s to coincide with the importation of glass Christmas tree decorations from Germany. Woolworths. God, I missed that place.
Yeah, me too. The pick and mix.
Oh, I used to just like, it was really naughty, and like when I was a kid, I used to just put my hand in there and just eat it.
Yeah, I used to do that too. Or if I was wearing, you know how hoodies have that pocket where you can put your hand all the way through? I used to like put my hand all the way through, take some pick and mix, and then pull it back into my pocket to snack on later. No wonder they went out of business. I bet everyone stole pick and mix from there.
Well, it was massive as well. Oh, I loved it when my mom was like, we're going to Woolworths. I was like, sweets. Woolworths was the first company to import these types of decorations in the US in 1890, and glass-blown decorative vegetables were imported from France from 1892 onwards. Despite the evidence showing that the tradition did not originate in Germany, the concept of the Christmas pickle has since been imported from the US and is now on sale in the country traditionally associated with it. So it wasn't actually a German tradition, but they kind of took it in the end because obviously everyone was just like, oh, pickles, that's your kind of thing, isn't it?
Well, they like stuff like sauerkraut and pickles, don't they? So
sauerkraut's amazing.
My dad loves that.
Great. I love it.
Isn't it just like fermented cabbage?
It's pickled, but I don't know if that is essentially answering your question or not.
I'm still not sure what fermented means. You know, I've googled it recently.
Gone off, like, they get, I see it as like getting moldy, because like, you know, when you're making like spirits and wines and beers, obviously like you have to ferment the fruit.
But on I'm a Celeb, they were making one of them was vegan, so for the eating trial she had to eat fermented fruit and she was like gagging, and I was thinking, isn't that just like alcohol though? But maybe not.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of more, you know, other ingredients that they have to put in for it to actually taste, you know, what we're tasting now.
Yeah.
I think eating a fermented fruit sounds disgusting because I don't like fruit in general. So if you're going to make me eat fermented fruit, but I'd be fuming.
Would you rather eat fermented fruit or like a testicle, like a sheep's testicle?
I'd rather eat the fruit.
Yeah, same, exactly.
I definitely would not be eating like a testicle or something. No. They've got that century-old egg, haven't they? Have you heard about that?
I don't like egg at the best of times.
Yeah, well, I go through phases with egg. Like, I definitely don't eat it when it's from McDonald's for their breakfast.
Oh, no.
It makes me feel a bit sick. But, oh, we looked it up and the picture's just vile. But... And apparently it costs quite a lot because it's like a delicacy.
Yeah, like a delicacy.
Oh, no, thank you. But anyway, so that's one story.
Oh, that's cute. That's actually a tradition I feel like I want to do.
Yeah.
Hide a pickle.
I've seen
in
some
tree.
Of the, like, the pictures of, like, you know, the decorations, like pickle decorations, and they're actually quite cute. Like, I'll definitely have one myself. So
we definitely need a picture of that on the Instagram.
Yeah. So Catalonia have a tradition called Cagana. So it's essentially a figurine depicted in the act of defecation appearing in the nativity scenes in Catalonia and neighboring areas. Neighboring areas with Catalan culture such as Andorra, Valencia and northern Catalonia. It is most popular and widespread in these areas, but can also be found in other areas of Spain, Portugal, and Italy. So the name of the name El Cagana literally means the pooper.
In the nativity scene. Yeah. There's literally someone taking a dump in the nativity scene in those places.
Yeah. Well, they have like all these figurines, but apparently it's bad luck if you have it like publicly displayed, so it has to be hidden. Oh my so God. It's not to like offend anyone, you know.
The secret. I don't know the four.
Yeah. Traditionally, the figurine is depicted as a peasant wearing the traditional Catalan red cap, the baratina, and with his trousers down, showing a bare backside and oh my God, defecating.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think you were going to be able to top the pickle in a tree, but that.
I've got like the ones that I picked. I was like, oh, is this going to be worthy of the podcast? And I was like, that's definitely going to be worthy of the podcast. Yeah.
it literally makes me want to get out a nativity scene now and not have a secret pooper in there.
Oh my God.
Whoever came up with that must have just kind of got fed up with Christianity and was like, I'm going to hide a secret pooper.
Well, from like Catalonia, it's quite like a religious place.
Yeah.
Like most places in Europe are quite religious. So I don't know, but so I like researched like the possible reasons why they have that in the first place. Mm-hmm. So they say that the Cagana, by creating feces, is fertilizing the earth.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know, kind of positive, like I understand where they're coming from.
I mean, I feel like that's an absolute long shot, but you know.
Yeah.
That's someone that's had one and like their mother-in-law's coming and going, why is there someone taking a dump in your nativity scene? And they've gone, he's just fertilizing the earth, like as a random excuse as to why it's there.
But you wouldn't think that quick on your feet, would you?
No.
I'd just be like, I don't know, maybe he was on crack.
Was one of the kids put it there?
Yeah. Another reason is many modern Caganas represent celebrities and authority figures. So, ultimately, it's like bringing the mighty down. Because you can get a queen one. You can get Queen Elizabeth. God. You can get like all sorts. Like the video on YouTube was like showing like all, you know, some of the different authority figures that you can get. You can get all sorts.
I know what I'm getting my friends for Christmas next year.
Oh my God, please do, because I'd die. I think that's so funny.
Boris Johnson one.
You probably can get one. I won't even be surprised if you can. Yeah, it's just really weird. Another reason is as to the charge of blasphemy, as Catalan anthropologist Miguel Delgado has pointed out, the grotesque rather than the negation of the divine may actually signify an intensification of the sacred. But what could be more grotesque than the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? So it's like, from what I can gather from that, is like the kind of deflecting, you know, the bloody torture that Jesus had to go through.
Yeah.
Trying to, I don't know, you know, make it more positive, which,
yeah,
I don't know, makes it more offensive or not, but I think it depends on how you see it.
I feel like it's really trivializing everything that Jesus went through.
But yeah, by having someone poop. But, you know, it is what it is. So that's the end of that one.
I love that one. Maybe Joseph, just Mary was giving birth and Joseph was caught off guard and just needed to take a dump whilst Mary was doing her thing.
I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing for a start?
Excuse me, hon.
But yeah, that's that one.
That's amazing.
When I was watching it, I was just like, what? What possibly makes you think that's acceptable to have on Christmas? But, you know,
now I want one. The boat.
Oh my God, the pictures are quite funny because it's like you can get all sorts. So we move away from Catalonia to Wales. Ooh. This one's slightly creepy.
I might know about this one, but go for it.
Okay. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Marilude.
Marilude.
So it's a folk custom found in South Wales. The tradition entails the use of an eponymous hobby horse, which is made from a horse's skull mounted on a pole and carried by an individual hidden under a sackcloth. It represents the regional variation of a hooded animal tradition that appears throughout Great Britain. When you say Great Britain, it just means Wales, because I've never come across this custom before.
I mean, I've heard about this custom very recently, but I've never, I'm almost 30 and I've never heard it before until the last couple of months. So it's not across Great Britain at all. It must just be, it's probably just one tiny area in Wales, isn't it? Like one weird village that did it as a joke once.
Probably. And then they were just like, oh shit, maybe we should just stick with it now.
I'm going to get them back.
So the custom was first recorded in 1800, with subsequent accounts of it being produced in the early 20th century. According to these, the Marilude was a tradition performed at Christmas time by groups of men who would accompany the horse on its travels around the local area. Although the makeup of such groups varied, they typically included an individual to carry the horse, a leader, and individuals dressed as stock characters such as Punch and Judy.
Oh yeah. Oh, Punch and Judy freaked me out.
Yeah, I don't like puppets or people who are like, yeah, it's creepy. Mm-hmm. The men would carry the Marilude to local houses where they would request entry through the medium of song.
So you've just got like this.
It's like a twisted Disney film.
Yeah, you've just got this horse's head on a stick singing carols at your door.
Yeah, and apparently the household orders would be expected to deny them entry again through song, and the two sides will continue their responses to one another in this manner. So they would continue to like sing in song.
Yeah.
The house owner would deny them entry.
Like a rap battle.
Yeah. If the householders eventually relented, then the team would be permitted entry and given food and drink. Cheeky bastards.
I know.
It's like Bilbo all over again when he gets gate crashed with his like meal for one.
Yeah.
Although the custom was given various names, it was best known as Marilude. The folklorist Lorwith C. Pete believed that the term meant Holy Mary, thus a reference to Mary, Mother of Jesus. Another folklorist, E.C. Court, thought it more likely that the term had originally meant grey mare, thus referring to the head's equine appearance.
Equine. That makes more sense than the Mary, Mother of Jesus thing, because what the hell's Mary got to do with a horse's skull?
I don't know. Nothing in this term. It is quite creepy. If you look up the pictures and stuff, it's a little bit creepy, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's that one.
I love that one too. That's not a tradition that I'm going to start, though. Like, the hiding a pickle and the nativity pooer, I think, are traditions that I might start in my own household in the future. But
if
not...
you start the horse one, I'll probably be like, no.
I'm just going to knock on your door. To my house. Yours will be the only house I go to.
Like, fuck off. It's actually quite creepy because it's like a hooded horse skull on a pole.
Yeah.
And they basically make a massive parade out of it. So yeah, it's not for me.
No thanks.
But the last one I've got is the KFC Christmas dinner in Japan.
Oh yeah.
So in 1970, Takeshi Okurara, I'm probably not saying that right. I do apologize. manager of the first KFC restaurant in Japan began promoting fried chicken party barrels as a Christmas meal intended to serve as a substitute for the traditional American turkey dinner. He marketed the party barrels as a way to celebrate Christmas, a holiday which lacked widespread tradition in Japan at the time. KFC Japan expanded the promotion nationwide in 1974 with its long-running Kentucky for Christmas advertising campaign.
That is a stroke of genius.
I know. I'd love to have a KFC Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
In Japan, not in here.
Yeah, no. Shit. No, yeah.
Eating KFC food as a Christmas time meal has since become a widely practiced custom in Japan. As from 2019 in Japan, Christmas sales at KFC account for nearly 5% of annual revenue.
It makes their dollar, basically.
That is an absolute stroke of genius.
Yeah.
I'd love...
That's why KFC is still around, because I was thinking not many people go there because, it, you know, it's quite expensive and stuff. But
and they always take ages and they always get your order wrong. But yeah, it's Japan. Yeah.
It's always Japan. That's why Hello Kitty is still a thing.
Yeah. And Pokemon.
Oh. Yeah, that's the end of my weird traditions.
Cool. I loved those.
I think my favourite one is probably the pooper. But if you ever want to like read any more traditions, I've got a list here. So I can't remember which country this is from, but they've got a pooping log. Oh, Spain. Thank you.
Español.
Ukraine is the one with the where they decorate the Christmas trees with spider webs. If you ever want to look into that.
That's cute. That sounds cute.
I don't know how you find that cute, but yeah, okay. We'll go with that.
I'm okay with spiders though. Like spiders don't faze me.
I wish I was like that.
I used to be scared of spiders when I was really little. And then I thought, I think there was one time when there was no one around to get a spider for me. And I just thought, the quicker I get rid of this spider, the quicker I'm not going to be scared anymore. And then I just kind of taught myself how to deal with them. Like, if you're just brave for those few seconds and get rid of the spider, then you can stop being scared.
Yeah. I'm all right if I see a spider and I'm drunk. Because for some reason I seem quite brave when I'm drunk. So, I kill it.
Slipper.
Obviously everyone else is like, no, you meant to like put it outside, and I'm like, just burn it. Apparently there's a Christmas tradition in Finland called the family sauna. So it's basically the whole family goes in a sauna together and just bond.
I bet they do it naked as well, because Scandinavians love being naked in saunas and stuff.
Yeah, they really do. Sweden, they have a Yule goat, which makes sense because, you know, obviously Christmas used to be pagan. It used to be the Yule.
And it's almost, that almost kind of ties up with Krampus a bit, because he's like half goat type thing.
Yes, definitely. Norway, they have a tradition where they hide brooms because it's when like... witches break into the house if they try and find a broom, you know, they can fly off and stuff like that. I'm not explaining it very well, but that's essentially their tradition.
So they're expecting witches to break into their house to find a broom, so they've got to hide all their brooms. Does hiding the brooms stop the witches breaking in? Yeah. Okay.
It stops them from like flying away,
escaping after they've broken in.
Yeah, so obviously they can get like, you know, reprimanded.
Yeah.
I didn't explain that one very well, but
it's fine.
It makes sense because, again, like, is it East? It's not Eastern, is it? Eastern Europe, Norway and Sweden and stuff.
Norway and Sweden, North, but kind North, of Eastern. Europe. Yeah.
The Czech Republic have Christmas shoes.
Mm.
So, you know, like, when you throw in a bouquet, when you get married and the bride throws a bouquet and then it's like a single woman. Like catches it and apparently she's meant to get married in the next month. They have a similar tradition, but they throw a crisp, like a shoe, in an empty room.
Yeah.
And if it points to the door, I can't remember what it means, but it means something.
Yeah.
I think it means like you find like the love of your life or something, or you get married in the next year or something.
That's interesting. In Icelandic Christmas folklore depicts mounting dwelling characters and monsters who come to town during Christmas, and one of them is called the Yule Cat, and he's a monstrous cat who roams Iceland eating people who aren't wearing the clothes they got for Christmas.
Oh my god, he looks like Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, made me laugh. But
I mean, it's more likely to get you, you're more likely to get eaten by a cat than you are by anything else, depending if you have cats in the house. That's hilarious. So
yeah,
that's worse than Krampus.
Yeah. Would you rather be put in Krampus's sack and taken to hell, or eaten by the Yule Cat because you're not wearing the ugly sweater your aunt got you for Christmas?
Krampus all the way.
Yeah. I feel like we'd have a better life down in hell.
Have a house with a white picket fence, some astroturf.
I think my personal hell would be Because have you seen the one of the American Horror Stories? They go to hell to save a couple of the witches, and one of the witches, played by Emma Roberts, hers is that she's working customer services in a department store with loads of nasty customers, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
My hell would be, there's a specific part of the A50, which, listeners, that's a road near us. It's like it's a dual carriageway. There's a specific part of it that feels like it's going on forever. And I always used to have to drive it. It was the last stretch on the drive home after I'd been to a gig in Nottingham or something. So I'm always knackered when I'm driving it. So my personal hell would just be driving that piece of road, like, non-stop, continuously.
Which road you're on about as well, because that's the only route that I have to take. The only route that I can take, to go home.
Yeah, it's a bit after you Toxeter, between you Toxeter and Stoke, horrendous.
Yeah, and it feels like it's going on forever and it's never going to end. And then finally you just go, welcome to Stoke-on-Trent.
And you're like, yes, it's a shithole, but I'm almost home.
Yeah, no, mine would be like, I think probably spiders. I think spiders will be involved because I'm that scared of them, but they're just gonna always be there.
You need to learn to love them.
Yeah, I'd rather face anything else than spiders.
You'd rather live in hell with Krampus in a little house with a white picket fence.
Yeah, and you know, make it cozy.
Yeah, have a cat or five.
I'll have as many as I want.
Yeah.
I think that's all for my Christmas traditions. Oh, apart from Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
They have a food delicacy that they have, where it's basically like a native bird on in the country called auk.
Mm.
And they basically put it inside seal skin and let it ferment.
Blech.
and then they eat it, and then apparently it's a delicacy that they mainly have in terms of like in winter for like weddings and birthdays.
I mean, it sounds absolutely disgusting, but I would be willing to try it if I was ever there.
Yeah, and they ferment it for like about 2 months.
That sounds horrible, but you know.
I mean, if they enjoy it, then that's.
Yeah, they probably don't understand curry sauce or like chips and gravy, but.
But the birds look like puffins. That's what their native bird looks like. So I was like, oh, they're eating puffins. And
that's really quite sad, but you know.
But yeah, that one I didn't really want to talk about too much just because I thought it was dead gross.
Yeah,
but I can't remember the full story of it, but they accidentally picked the wrong bird once, a couple of the people living in Greenland, and they got, what was it called now? What was the, they got a black eared illness, and it begins with a B. Yeah, they died. I can't find a word, but yeah, they basically accidentally fermented the wrong type of bird, and it killed them. So. Aww. Botulism, have you ever heard that? That's the disease. Danny found it.
That sounds made up, if I'm honest.
They probably did make it up, and then they were like, yeah, we need to put a name to this disease.
Let's just botch together a name. Oh, yeah.
We botched this up, mate. We botched this up.
So today's lesson is make sure you pick the right bird.
Pick the right bird and don't die.
Yeah. Are we finishing there? Have I just like finished it off?
I think you have, to be fair. I think that was quite easy to do compared to others. Okay, for anyone listening, for your information, this is going to be our last podcast for a while, just because we've got life stuff to do.
That does sound really ominous, actually.
Yeah.
But
it's not mysterious. I'm moving house.
Yeah, Emma's moving house. So we're going to have a little bit of a break for a couple of months, and then we'll be back with a vengeance.
So make everyone think that we hate them already.
Yeah.
We do.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Gin and Spooks. Please head to Instagram and give us a follow at Gin and Spooks, or head to our blog, which is ginandspooks.wordpress.com. We'll put photos of the things we've discussed today on both of those, so you can see what we've been talking about.
If you have any ghost stories of your own, or even drink suggestions, please email them over to us at ginandspooks@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.